You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Creativity Wasted is a podcast where three or four comedians or creative people each share a creative idea, such as a movie idea, app idea, or futuristic tech idea. The idea can be funny or serious, well thought out or improvised, realistic or ridiculous, but we'll always have fun talking or joking about it. I'm comedian Tom Walma. Can you say your name?
Comedian Nolan Riley.
And this is Creativity Wasted. And we might have a couple callers calling in a few minutes late, but let's get started anyway. Nolan, you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You should probably go first just so I get a better idea of what this is.
Okay. So I normally don't like to talk about politics at all. But I'm going to start with a political thing and then it'll work into my idea. There's been some talk in the news about universal basic income, which is basically, if automation kills all the jobs, just paying people money because they exist. And it wouldn't be based on like unemployment where you've got to try to find a job or anything. There'd be no strings attached. You just give people money to live on because there's no jobs. And I think that's a horrible idea. I'm not a Republican, but I kind of might sound like one at first. You agree?
Yeah, I may be wrong about this, but I think Saudi Arabia is currently implementing this because they have such a large amount of money from selling oil that most of their populace doesn't work. And they're actually in a giant problem right now because they have to import all of their workers from different countries.
Yeah.
Because they have one of the craziest welfare systems in the world.
Anyway, the reason I think it's a horrible idea, and I've heard, I like the Adam Carolla podcast, and he talks about this, and it's basically people who borrow money from their friends, that ends up in disaster, because if you owe money and you can't pay it back, you start to hate the person who loaned you the money, and you start to be a dick to the person who lent you the money, and it can ruin friendships. And so it's weird, but if you loan somebody money, they tend to, in response, instead of treating you nicer and sucking up to you, they treat you like an ass. They become an asshole to you. So,
oh yeah.
And he makes the argument that the same thing sort of happens with unemployment and welfare, that the people who receive it, instead of being grateful, they feel ashamed and they feel jealous of people who have money, and they just hate them even more. And so universal basic income, I think, would be like that. It would just breed hate on both sides, both the people who are receiving it and the people who are paying it. And then also, I think part of the implication in unemployment and welfare is that people are okay. Most people, I mean, there's some dicks out there, but most people are okay with some of their taxes going to help people a little bit. But I don't think they'll be willing to pay for people to live better lives than them.
To sit at home and do nothing and still get money? Yeah, damn right I'd be mad.
But yeah, so I think the premise of welfare and unemployment is that you give them just barely enough money that they're barely hanging on. So they're still suffering, so we're sort of okay with that. We want them to suffer, not in an evil way, but we don't want to give up so much money that the person who isn't working is living better lives than us. And that's
what... you want them to still have a drive.
Yeah.
I don't have enough money. Better go get a job.
But the idea with universal basic income is that it's not meant for the few. It's meant for the masses. So when robots take our jobs, like the majority of the people will be on universal basic income. But we don't want, how horrible would it be if the majority of the people in the world are just barely hanging on? So it's not meant to be that little amount of money. So yeah, I think it's a horrible idea. I think what was I going to say? So
the only reason I would think that would ever work would be if we get past a point where we don't have money anymore, so everyone just makes nothing and they just get what they need to not die. That'd be like the only thing I can envision that would actually make that system work.
Yeah. But so I have an alternative idea for universal basic income, which is pretty obvious, but it leads to my idea. So first of all, I think we should have universal health care, because I'm not okay with giving some guy money so he can work on his abs and learn to play acoustic guitar and try to steal my wife. But I am okay with giving money to somebody to fix their broken pelvis or something. Unless he broke it trying to have sex with my wife. But so I'm not married, by the way. Just a joke.
Theoretical wife.
So I think people are okay. Most people, I mean, there's some dicks on the Republican side that hate universal health care, but for the most part, even people like ordinary people who are Republicans, I think, are sort of okay with universal health care if they're smart enough to understand what it is.
I mean, a lot of other countries use universal health care and they're doing just fine. I don't see why we can't. Well, actually, I do know why we won't, but it's a lot of politics.
And then
let's talk about that.
Because they're losing money.
And then on top of the universal health care, I think we should give people a little bit of money as sort of a universal basic income, but it would be less than what unemployment or welfare is, by like 70% less something. And the reason I think we could get away with giving people less money would be if basically most of money goes towards housing, and that's the way we do housing in this country is ridiculous. The amount of money we spend on houses and apartments, and basically my idea to make futuristic houses would solve the problem. So,
well, if they would go into universal, like, salaries like you're talking about, they would have to do universal housing too, because you can't be giving people the same salary and expecting them to pay for in a variety of houses at different price points. That's not possible.
Yeah. But so I've talked about, you probably remember some of my ideas about the futuristic tiny house. But basically my idea for cheap housing, and yeah, they could supply the housing through this government mandate. But I think normal people who have jobs would want to live there too, because it's such a cool idea. But basically, you'd live in an empty house with one main room and a handful of tiny rooms, like one per person. And then the rooms would have overhead projectors on the ceiling, and those would be provided with the house. And they would be sort of fancy, futuristic overhead projectors. So, but they would be used to like watch TV, play video games, do TiVo. But they would also like project on all four walls. So they would project like decorations on the walls to customize what your house looks like. And the
that
idea
sounds cool, but I feel like it might give off a sterile feeling. Well, that, everything's two dimensional.
Yeah, that's part of it. And then the other part is that the stuff, that would get rid of some of the amount of stuff that you need. And then the other thing is that the stuff that you do need, everything would be wheeled in and out on demand by robots. And these are, they have, Amazon has these factory robots called Kiva robots. They look like a sort of a giant Roomba vacuum cleaner. They're like round. They're like 4 inches high. And they have like a car jack on the top so they can lift things. And they lift things up in the factory on top of like wooden pallets, and they move it around. And so the idea is like chairs, beds, clothes, appliances. Well, you wouldn't need appliances, like toilet, shower, sink, everything else. Everything would be attached to these pallets and wheeled in and out when you need it by robots. So
even the bathroom just comes into your room.
Yeah, because the thing with
that is weird.
Well, so rooms don't necessarily need, you don't need rooms for certain, for specific functions. That's silly.
True, but isn't the robot like, that's carrying around the toilet going to smell like, you know,
yeah, feces? I think there should still be a bathroom. I'm just saying.
I
can make room, squeeze it in a corner.
The floor plan, that was my big question. Where is the toilet?
Well, so if you don't have plumbing in a house, that makes it a lot cheaper because, for one thing, plumbing leaks, and most of the housing repairs are related to water leaks, either roof leaking or plumbing leaking.
Yeah, but if you don't have plumbing, that's nasty.
Yeah, I get a plumber coming in tomorrow to fix
washing dishes and everything becomes. Have you ever been camping?
Well, you don't need to wash dishes. You just wheel the dishes in and out. Yeah.
Where do the dishes go?
So basically,
you just eating up a dirty plate and continue them.
So you would have like a neighborhood area where the things get wheeled, and
this is starting to sound like a prison.
Yeah.
Basically, I think it's going to give the ultimate freedom. It's not prison. It's the exact opposite of prison.
I don't think the minimalism life is for everyone.
The ultimate freedom is like Kevlar in the middle of the woods and some survival skill.
I think it's going to turn into people into some serial killers. Like, they're going to be like so bored of these plain white walls, stuck. They have to live things in exact certain way. I think this is going to drive a lot of people crazy. And also, I'm sorry, but I'm trying to picture people having tiny homes in Detroit, and all I can picture is people literally having like their whole entire home just stolen. Like, you go home, you're like, someone stole my whole house.
Well, if there's nothing in it, it doesn't matter.
Projecting the decorations on the wall. If you get too close to the wall, there go your decorations because you're blocking the projector with your body.
So, just in that one spot.
Yeah, but
you're always going to feel like you're in a nightclub.
So
it's a quiet nightclub.
Basically,
are there windows?
If you want windows, there can be windows. But
if you
don't
want windows, I'm concerned.
So basically,
can I just live in a room with nothing else, just a projector, a toilet will be wheeled in? I'll be fine.
Well, other things, not just the toilet. Basically everything, chairs, games, whatever your possessions are. But the idea is that you don't need appliances or refrigerators because – somewhere in like your neighborhood, there'll be like a warehouse facility to put all the stuff. And some of the stuff could be shared amongst the community. Like everybody doesn't need their own hammer. Everybody doesn't need their own.
But what if I need the hammer toilet while someone else has a hammer?
Well,
someone doesn't need their own toilet. Are you kidding me?
But the idea is everything comes and goes in, and then, when the toilet comes out, they'll clean it. When this clothes come out, they'll clean it. So basically, I eliminate chores completely. There's no need for any chores because everything, if you take it out of the house, you have like big factory style dishwashing machines and big factories.
What if I want to cook my own dinner?
Then you would wheel in a stove.
What if I want something that doesn't taste like bland-ass hospital food? Like,
you'd wheel an individual vegetable.
And how long does it take to get all this wheeled to you? Do you have like a 10-minute waiting period? Or what if all the stoves are being used? Please hold for 3 hours. Like,
well,
I have questions.
Looking at this macro with a neighborhood, you have one centralized like factory pumping out robots. The farther you are away from this factory, the less quality you get. Because if it's bringing me food, your food's going to be cold by the time it gets 3 blocks away.
Since we're apparently not even allowed to have a microwave, Tom.
You could wheel in a microwave.
Oh, do I also have to wait for that too?
We brought up a good point of you're going to run out of microwaves.
Well, so basically, for one thing, you can have like predictive algorithms.
It's a really dystopian prison. Like, I'm impressed.
You're impressed at how bad the idea is what you're saying?
It's a great idea for a prison.
Okay. But so the idea is that you wheel everything in and out, no chores. I don't know why people don't care about that. That's a huge thing.
Because I'm not living life at a convenience.
Basically, you hook it up to the shipping grid too. So some of the stuff you can store in the factory, like neighborhood factory.
We're not going to run out of microwaves. We'll just get them shipped from other prisons.
Well, basically, the whole world would be up for rent. So basically, you wouldn't have to – if you had a date, you'd order like a fancy table and fancy candles and – everything. You wouldn't need to
travel in this world of yours, or am I just stuck in the same building with the same people?
Well, I think living in a location is pointless, because unless you use the dirt to like farm shit, there's no reason to be tied to a specific location.
Okay, what about clothes though? Are our clothes going to be all uniformed? And
no, you can have your own clothes. So
I'd have to take those with me all the time. But what if
you wouldn't take them with you?
Like, what about travel?
The robots would ship them around.
Seriously, what about travel? Are we allowed to like go? What if we need cars?
Yeah, how am I getting from Michigan to Japan?
I didn't think about cars, but you could either have like a, you could have your own car. Because cars are too expensive.
Is there just like
share.
A personable transit system set up, maybe?
You could if
maybe
you
that
wanted.
Could work, but...
Or
instead of roads, are all the different individual houses on like a railway system that just get moved around when you want to go somewhere?
You wouldn't need to move the
annoying busing system.
You move all the stuff within the house. So if, let's say you want to, you get out of work late and you want to sleep like a block from where you work in an empty housing unit, you just go in there and then you'd order the clothes for the next day. And by the time you got up in the morning, the clothes you needed would be there. You wouldn't have to ship all of your possessions. Or if you decided to move to Phoenix or something, you could just press a button and say, ship all my shit to Phoenix.
That means there's a robot packing up all my shit.
This sounds a lot
your
like
stuff,
Star Trek.
You don't need to pack it because it's already wheeled in and out and it's already in the warehousing system.
I don't like that. Why
so
can't I just
no
have a closet?
The idea of paying to own extra rooms to store things is silly. And you have to pay to heat them all to 70 degrees. So you're paying like... I have two spare bedrooms. I never go in there. I have like a man cave. I hardly ever go down there. I'm paying.
I live in a man cave.
I'm paying for all of that. I'm paying like $1,800 a month for my house. I only need like one room under my system.
Well, that's your fault. You bought a house that was too big for your current needs.
And not to challenge your entrepreneurial spirit, but rent out those rooms, man.
And I'm sorry, but dating population is going to go down incredibly. No one's ever going to leave their little box that you've created.
But the idea is you can easily leave. You can live a nomadic lifestyle and just your stuff can sort of follow you automatically. Just the stuff you need.
But
by
is it even
app.
Your stuff anymore?
Yeah, but still,
or is it just re-synthesized?
You're not meeting people at stores. You're not going out and doing stuff because you don't have money to just spend frivolously. Like you're not going to meet new people and
stores.
Yeah, stores are sort of ridiculous.
Stores are going to be just basically factories that pump out the most needed stuff. I feel like it's going to really hinder creativity.
Well, yeah. How many times do you meet a new friend or a date in a grocery store when you're shopping for groceries?
I meet people all the time. Sure, it's not every time, but I meet people all the time.
I don't know.
The last time I went to a restaurant alone, I just walked up to a stranger who was also there by himself and asked if he wanted to eat with me. We're now friends.
Well, that's silly. That's unusual.
Oh, I'm insane. Like, that's just the kind of shit I do.
But basically, the idea of paying, like, a bathroom, a fully furnished bathroom at a renovation is like $20,000-ish. Maybe if you do things yourself, it's half that. And if you calculate the amount of hours you have to work for that, if you make a decent, like, let's say you make $25 an hour, that's like $17 after taxes per hour. So how many hundreds of hours do you have to work to own this room or to own an extra room that just stores shit that you've got to pay?
About 4 months.
It's insane.
40 hours a week.
And it's unsustainable if there aren't that many jobs to make enough money to be working, pissing away 8 hours a day your whole life, working a miserable job to pay for these pointless rooms. You won't even be able to, even if you want to.
Yeah, well, in the future you're describing, it doesn't sound like there are any jobs because everything's been taken over by robots.
Yeah, it sounds kind of boring. So, no offense. I would personally be bored.
But my thought is you just travel. You'd go to all the fun places.
Against the robot overlords, but that's just me.
You'd go to Hawaii. All of your TiVo stuff would be there, all your video games. It would ship your clothes. You wouldn't have to pack. And then, okay, there's some show running. I want us to go run into the Bulls. I'll go to Spain. It'll ship all my stuff to Spain automatically with the app. You'd basically just live wherever you wanted. And so basically there would be no people in shitty places like Michigan in the winter. Everybody would just go to the cool places, do the cool things all the time. And that way you wouldn't be pissing away your whole life in an office at a shitty job to pay for extra rooms that you don't need.
In this hypothetical future, what is the human population?
It doesn't matter.
Kind of matters, because there's 7 billion of us.
I don't. And under my system, you could. And the other thing is, it would make you could fit a lot of these places in one spot because they're smaller than an apartment. So you could shove.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of the travel though. Like 7 billion people being able to go wherever they want, whenever they want. Even with robot efficiency, this is going to be a bureaucratic hellhole.
Well, it would get better over time.
As people died from boredom?
Why would it be boredom? You can do anything you want ever.
Population's going to go
down. Why would it be more boring?
Not everyone is satisfied sitting at home having everything brought to them. People need to interact with other people. They need
fat people in the hover chairs.
You could go to Hawaii on a weekend and interact with people if you want to. You're assuming people would just stay in their houses. Why would they stay in their houses more under my system than under the current system?
I don't know. What about families, though? Like, if you have a family, that's got to be hard to just shuffle them everything.
What? I heard two people talking.
Yeah, we kind of talked over each other.
Your turn.
Yeah, still there.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for one of you guys to say what.
My phone just keeps cutting out.
But anyway, I think it'd be cool. And I think it would solve the problem of the coming economic chaos with all the job losses because of self-driving cars and stuff. So I think it's sort of necessary to drastically reduce the cost of housing. Which is the most ridiculous thing we spend money on right now. The amount of...
That's kind of just a bubble right now. I mean, shit, look at California. You get a three-room, one-story house for $2.5 million. Meanwhile, the house my family bought was like $100K for two stories and a finished basement, like five rooms.
But the way I see it with my system, the house, if you even bother to own it, with the main room and a few tiny rooms, maybe $10,000, $20,000 at most for the house. maybe a couple hundred dollars a month to ship everything in and out. You're paying less for heat.
If there's no jobs available, then why is there even still money? If the entirety of the workforce is being done by automatons, then we really have no need for currency.
Well, I don't want to get into that. But again, I'm not, this is how the economy is going to go. I'm not creating that. I'm just creating a solution to adapt to that. I'm not advocating for robots taking all the jobs, but I acknowledge that it's probably going to happen to some extent. And I have a solution that's not going to leave everybody poor and homeless and miserable. And that is to make simpler houses, but then have a system to wheel things in and out using Amazon factory robots, which already exist, and allowing people to live the same quality of life with less money, by drastically less money. And the way I see it is, it's not like a prison, and it's not like there's nothing to do. I see it as there's more to do. There's everything to do. You can put anything in your house. You can rent anything.
If you don't have limitations, you don't have any drive.
I don't know. And, well, so basically the idea with the universal basic income is that basically everybody who likes the system, even people who have jobs, would sort of live in the same house, but the people who are on universal basic income and don't have jobs, they wouldn't be able to afford quite as much cool stuff. Like, they wouldn't be able to afford HBO and fancy video games. They wouldn't be able to move as often, like, to Hawaii. They would be able to ship things in and out of wherever they're at to the local storage factory in that neighborhood, but it would cost money to ship things all over the place using the shipping grid. So they might not be able to do that very much. They might not be able to afford as much food. And the way I see it is there's like the Uber, there's like the gig economy. I think that makes people happy. I think, like, in high school and as a kid, if you want something, basically, like, you want a video game comes out and you want it, you go out, you start mowing neighbors' lawns, or you do like a temporary job until you get the money to buy the video game. You buy the video game and then you quit. And I think that type of system where you earn enough money to get what you want, whether it be a jet ski, a boat, or something small, like a fancy clothes or a fancy car. I'm assuming we still have cars. And then you work less, so you're not tied down to the 40-hour-a-week thing. And I think that you get more of a sense of an accomplishment if you work towards a goal of acquiring a possession than if you're just always working 40 hours a week because you have to, and then after the fact going back and buying things with what you've got. I think that sort of is more of a drudgery system that doesn't give you any sense of accomplishment. So I think it'll make people happier than the current economic system, even if you're making less money and not working as often. And I think it's necessary because, yeah, there won't be that many jobs. I think that most people haven't saved enough for retirement, so they're going to be fucked even if there are jobs, unless we have a system like this. I think it'll solve, like, the Flint water crisis. It would just solve it automatically, because you wouldn't have to worry about pipes and plumbing, because you just wheel in the water just like everywhere else, just like everything else.
So now the robots are carrying around buckets of water as if that's more efficient than pipes?
Yeah. It's cheaper than having plumbing in the house. You'd have some sort of...
Well, not even in the house. It's just plumbing in general. It's well, efficient just having a pipe going from the processing plant to the distribution center of, in this case.
It would depend on place to place, but from the, yes, some places it might make sense to have pipes to the community center. In some places like Flint, it wouldn't. And there's another water crisis near where I live in Rockford, Michigan, because there's a company called Wolverine Shoes that dumped a bunch of poison in the ground that's leaking. So that's basically our infrastructure and pipes and stuff is crumbling anyway. Might as well comp up the system to not need it, not have to repair it.
You kind of throwing a baby out with the bathwater on that one. Yeah, I mean, pipes are efficient. The only real problem is greed and short-sighted stupidity.
Well, basically, you could think of, like, roads as a pipe for stuff. I mean, we're just using one pipe for everything, which is a road, instead of having water pipes. And we could just have one system to get goods and people back and forth, which is the road system. And the automated cars and I think is going to make it a lot cheaper to do that. So I think it makes sense. But anyway, this episode is crashing and burning. The other two people backed out. Yeah, I'm being too serious. But anyway, I think basically my idea will sort of solve most of the problems with the economy, with the cheaper housing and you being able to move wherever you want. You can move where the jobs are. You can the other thing I already mentioned the no retirement. So people, it solves the problems of people not saving for retirement, global warming and Flint water and things like that where people have to move or have to not – the infrastructure is bad. It solves that problem. It solves the problem of all the jobs getting automated away and people not having enough money for anything. Makes it so you don't have to do chores. Makes it so you can have anything you want for rent. I think it's just better in every way, cheaper, give you free time to pursue your dreams. I think it's great.
All right.
But go ahead with your idea.
Let's see which one I want to do. This is a little weird, but how do you think they came up with surfing? Like, do they just cut up some wood and go on the ocean that the penguins teach them? How did you come up with surfing? How did humanity figure out that? Like, I get boats, because boats make sense. You hollow out a log, you put it out on the water, it doesn't sink. You just get a 2x4 and put your feet on it and ride a wave. How the hell did that happen?
I think they had, like, canoes, and when you're trying to get past the breakers, the waves sort of push you back and you sort of surf accidentally. I think that's probably how it happened. And then they figured, well, since we're doing this anyway, and it's kind of fun if we're not going anywhere to be on this wave getting pushed around, I think they decided to make it into a sport. That would be my guess.
I like the idea of the penguins teaching them.
Oh, yeah, penguins do that too, don't they? They sort of, on their bellies, they sort of surf a little bit.
No, I'm just making a terrible reference to some movie from like the late 2000s. I don't even remember the name of the movie. I just remember there were penguins surfing, and it made me weird. I mean, weird thoughts, bro.
Okay. What's the idea then?
That was it. You want a different one? Cause
now let's keep going with surfing, because I have some thoughts on surfing. I think that surfing, people who surf tend to be really happy. And I think I sort of have an idea why, which I think is sort of interesting. I think the key to happiness is having, well, first of all, they're out on a beach. The scenery is nice. The sun feels good. Pretty girls in bikinis. You're surfing. You're impressing people. You're getting social validation. And also, it's like a goal with, it's like an unreachable goal, surfing, like finding the perfect wave. It's like a goal that you never achieve to get bored. And it's sort of intermittent reward. Like, even if you suck, you can catch a cool wave and like impress your buddies. And it's like the perfect, like gambling, like casinos, they research like how to keep people sucked into a slot machine. Like, how often do you reward them versus not reward them? So there's like an algorithm in our brain to like, there's like the small chance of a big reward. And then there's intermittent reward for hitting the slot. And I think there's a similar thing with surfing where you're trying to catch a wave. And sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, but it's enough that it keeps you from not getting frustrated. And then every once in a while you catch a big, huge wave and you can like brag to your friends and, get some social validation out of it. So I think it's like the perfect sort of, combination of reward and novelty and just pleasantness, like, as opposed to, and you can do it forever, as opposed to like basketball, where once you get like 30, you blow out your knees every time you play.
That's really only if you're playing at the professional level.
Yeah. Or you get too fat to run back and forth like me. But yeah,
that'll happen. My trick in gym class, whenever that happened, was just stand by the hoop. Like, I'm always open. I'm gonna hit that layup. Yeah, teamwork.
But I think surfing is sort of cool because it can sort of teach us how to be happy. You can sort of learn from them happy surfer dudes. Yeah. Any other ideas?
I have a bold idea about a movie.
Cool. Go ahead.
That's a fun idea. So it would be a reimagining of the American Revolution, where angels and devils are picking sides, not for any moral reasons, just to fuck with each other. Sorry if I'm not supposed to swear.
You can swear.
All right, cool. And the angels decide to help the British, and the devils decide to help the Americans. So the Archangel Michael comes down to Benedict Arnold and convinces him to betray the rebellion. I don't know, it'd be like a fun little movie.
Kind of like
look at things from a different perspective,
like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, like a supernatural.
Yeah, except not ridiculous.
So, do the devils and the Americans win?
Yeah.
Do we become? Maybe. Does George Washington become God then, or does the devil become God?
No stakes between the devils and the angels. They're literally doing it for shits and giggles.
Oh.
Just be like, fuck you, Satan. Fuck you, God. And the devils win because warfare is like 90% tricking people, which is something the devils are great at.
Okay. any actors who would play like who would play the devil or
It'd probably be voice actors, wouldn't be actually play parts, but we got to get Liam Neeson in here somewhere.
I have one request, one request only.
I did not understand a word you just said.
I have one request and one request only. Liam Neeson.
This is my one stipulation for this movie. Liam Neeson is in it.
It's the only way.
I have a very specific set of skills. None of them having to do with theology. I have no idea what's going on. All I know is I'm going to win this war.
Now, are the demons fucking with the people who are on their side just because they can't help but fuck with people?
Oh, yeah. They're pantsing them. They're throwing pies everywhere. It's just a hootenanny of nonsense.
And Liam Neeson's going to come in. He's going to find them, and then he's going to kill them, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna.
So he'll be an Irish conscript.
Maybe after we win the war, he has to get rid of all the demons.
Yes, that is the sequel. We have a sequel.
Okay.
So we can get a. I really want to throw Denzel Washington in here somewhere too, but not as a slave.
Not as a slave. As a regular like human. He could do a badass. He could definitely do a badass.
It's making George Washington just to fuck with all the racist people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, like Hamilton. He's the Puerto Rican guy plays Hamilton.
We can get the guy that plays Hamilton to play Hamilton in the movie.
I kind of
not
like
a bad idea.
I don't know about you, but I love movies where big celebrities make like a cameo and then get murdered instantly. Like Scream did this. Like Pamela Anderson would come in the beginning and she got killed in like the first 30 seconds.
It's like
seconds.
We can afford you, but only for 30 seconds.
Or how Daniel Craig was in The Force Awakens as an unnamed stormtrooper.
True. Yeah. I would do that. Don't even pay me. I just want the experience.
So let me give you some creative notes and then I'll leave. Like, hey, maybe some character development.
Maybe for the plot, the demons were involved with like the Boston Tea Party. Like maybe they spiked the tea
It's a Long Island iced tea. Yeah. Oh, Long Island iced tea party.
Or they put like something in the tea to enrage the Americans to, make them angry to dump the tea.
Steroids? You go in rage and you do the muscle flex and I'm like, steroids?
I don't know. Are there any rage like drugs that make you? I can't picture any.
Most drugs can make you rage if you try hard enough.
I picture.
You put bath salts. You put bath salts in the Boston Bay.
You rage so hard, you'll eat faces.
Was that ever proven that was bath salts that caused them to eat the face?
No one really knows.
It was time bath salts.
But yeah, I picture most drugs, they either pump you up or make you horny or psychedelic where you could go any direction whatsoever. But I can't picture any drug that makes you rage.
A lot of
specifically.
Crack, cocaine.
But again, those are just uppers.
Bath salts again.
I think it's just, it depends on how you use the drugs and some people react differently and it depends on the amount you use too, but cocaine, crack, meth, bath salts.
Did you just Google it?
And no, I'm minding my own business over here. Okay. No, but like I've seen people freak out on cocaine. You definitely have seen some crack and meth heads freak out. Like it's. They can make you angry, but it's not all at once. And it can be regular over-the-counter drugs, too. Like, you can react to it wrong and have, like, total freak out.
Yeah.
Man, you have bad cough syrup and you just stab somebody in the face.
The Boston Tea Party is sort of a weird way to protest. Like, maybe they were going to do, like, a protest that makes sense. like a march or well, like a, not paying taxes.
Oh my God, no!
But they got fucked up in the way that they implemented the protest.
I figured out what they could add to the Boston Tea Party. I think they should do like old timey cough syrup. Do you know what they used to put in cough syrup? All the drugs. Here's this cocktail of cocaine, meth, heavy alcohol. Like
nightshade, hemlock.
Hemlock.
Hold on. I'll look up a recipe. Let's see here.
This might be hacked, but I did just have a really dumb idea for a new military weapon where they just get a bunch of weed smoke and carpet bomb the shit out of an area. Like, all right, they're going to be really high. We got like 2 hours to kill them all before they shoot back.
All right, this cough syrup contains alcohol, cannabis, chloroform, and morphine. Like, wow, that's from a cocktail.
Back, you mean from back in the day?
Like way back in the day, like the OG cough syrups used to contain just all the drugs. All the drugs. Like, literally, that's what they did, is they just mixed together different kinds of drugs, and they're like, well, that won't help you. I don't know what will, buddy. Like, pat on the back.
One way to cure a cough, I guess.
Yeah, it will be.
It's literally just a drug cocktail is what they were giving you in a liquid form. It probably still tasted like shit.
I mean, have you ever tasted morphine? Yeah, it's pretty bad.
No, I haven't, actually.
I might have bit a hole in the bag when I got surgery last time. I was curious.
I was going to say, I've had it through a bag, but I've never, like, just, like, put it in my mouth. Wasn't exactly taste I was hankering for.
I was incredibly high on morphine and Vicodin once because they accidentally double-dosed me in the hospital. Oh, so dang. I bit open the bag of morphine.
I was going to say, I only had a little bit of morphine, and that was because I had a lot of broken things.
Maybe you thought it was a bag of morphine, but it was somebody's face in real life.
But it was really just old-time cough syrup.
The demons made you hallucinate.
That wasn't morphine. That was liquid meth.
How about this? They think that demons are helping them, but really it's just Native Americans dressed up as demons, and they're just tricking them.
We're taking our land back.
They're just causing chaos.
They're helping the British because they keep winning, and they can't think of any other reason that they would lose other than God.
Yeah, I like that idea.
Boom. We just wrote a movie, guys. Quick, let's stop the broadcast so people don't steal the idea.
What do we want to call? Did you have a name for the movie?
I did, but I don't remember it because this idea is like 5 years old now.
Okay.
Something about Benedict Arnold because he was supposed to be the main character. Your Native American angle, I like it because it's a bunch of Native Americans tricking Benedict Arnold into betraying them. Or is it the angels? Well, no, it's supposed to be the angels tricking Benedict Arnold. Well, I have to come up with who the angels are. The angels are the Spanish. They just want to fuck with the French and the English.
Wow.
And on my idea, there are no angels or demons, but the Native Americans trick the settlers into thinking they're demons. The Native Americans are demons. Maybe they use argot, like the thing that they used in the set. The reason they think that the Salem witch trials, that they killed all the women, is because they were gone mad by argot mold in the bread. So maybe Native Americans use the argot and they combine that with the Christianity myths that they learn in order to fuck with white people and just get the white people to kill each other.
Maybe the Canadians can be the angels. They're just so nice.
They're just trying to get both sides of the white people to just murder each other so they'll go away.
The Native Americans actually really like the British because they honored the fucking treaties they had with them.
Huh. Yeah. Well, we've got like five or so minutes. Yeah, this is
actually went better than I thought it would.
I was hoping that one of the two other guys would have called in, but they both texted me that they were out.
We'll prank call them next week.
Yeah.
Or not next week, the week after that.
Well, I brought another idea, but it's too long for 8 minutes. I'm trying to think of a smaller idea that I had to fill some time. I was thinking about skiing because my friends always want me to go skiing. And I hate skiing because I'm not very good at it. And it's terrifying for me. And last time I went skiing, they dragged me skiing like 3 years ago. We went down the hill maybe 20 times. My friend who took me fell zero times. I fell about 12 times. And we were lucky that it wasn't busy. And because if it was, I probably would have ran into somebody and gotten injured because I suck. And skiing is this weird sport where all of the rest of society has gotten safer except for skiing.
It's not that bad. It just takes practice.
It's like
pizza and french fries. Pizza and french fries.
How do you make skiing safer? You're flying down the side of a mountain with dull knives on your feet.
But we know like celebrities who've died from skiing.
Okay, maybe if
how many
more
other
like,
sports do we know of like people who have died doing?
Let's see, football players get extreme head injuries.
No. Skiing is like people always get injured skiing, and it's probably
snowboarders get injured.
Yeah,
there's that guy at the Olympics who got decapitated on the toboggan run.
Let's just admit it. It's the snow. The snow is the devil. It's the snow's fault. It's the snow sports.
But another thing that I think is dumb about
soccer players get more concussions than most other fucking sports.
Yeah.
Hockey players lose teeth like nothing.
There's that one hockey player that died on the bench. Like his heart stopped. They got it going again. And it was immediately like, yeah, put me back in. I want to play.
Hockey's so brutal. It's the best.
But
oh my god, every sport should have fist fights. Been saying it for years.
It should, honestly. Like every I can't sport. Even stand to watch a football game anymore because they have to stop every 2 seconds. At least hockey, god, they're like, oh, they're fighting. We'll let them go for a minute before we break it up.
I want there to be fights in basketball and soccer the most. Soccer for the flops, and basketball because they don't follow the rules anyway.
True.
Yeah. But anyway, so I have an idea for...
I don't watch professional basketball anymore because I kept counting how long they spend in the paint without the ball. Like, all right, that's more than 3 seconds. Foul, you lose. That's the 100th time you've pulled that foul. Your team loses.
Yeah. Anyway, I have an idea for a new type of like skiing. I don't like ice skating either because... your ankles get tired right away, and it's boring. So my idea is for, well, another thing about Michigan and skiing is that it makes sense to ski on hills in like Colorado where they have mountains, but in Michigan we have like shitty small hills. So why pretend that we're something we're not and ski on hills? So I have an idea for a type of skiing. Basically, if you've ever seen like a dog, like a greyhound race or a horse race, they have like...
Are you talking about like cross-country skiing? Is that where you're going with this?
Well, basically, no. Well, sort of. So basically, they have like a oval track for like dog racing.
You're talking about dog sledding, except there's no sled?
There's no dogs. There's no sled. There's just a...
Just a track, like track and field track.
There's an oval track. And then, like the dog racing, they have this metal bar that goes all the way across, and it goes forward ahead of the dogs. And I think horse racing might have this too. I don't know, but my idea would be to attach like a tow ropes to that metal thing, and have it push you around the track.
The only way that's going to be fun is if it goes like 100 miles per hour.
Well, you'd put like...
That would be so boring.
How are you going to turn?
It turns.
Well, it would turn in a circle, like a never-ending
this
oval.
This big metal bar would
However,
go around the oval.
It's just dragging you. And if you're next to other people, that curve might be a bit tricky.
So it'd be like four... it'd be like... Well, it'd actually be high. It'd be like 8 foot high, and the tow ropes would hang down, and you'd reach up and grab the tow rope as it goes over your head.
That takes out all the thrill. And you're then, basically taking a ski lift and making it flat.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, ski lifts.
That's exactly what you're doing.
Ski lifts, it's fun going one way, but not fun going the other way. This way, there is no boring half. You're just always
going. You're right.
Going.
It's just all boring.
But basically,
the bottoms come out on their way up, like so you have to get out.
Huh? There is no up.
I've never gone skiing before.
Oh. I can't help you.
anyway, in my system, it pushes you around in a circle, and you could have like little bouncy hills, like. To bounce from side to side on the skis.
Ooh, bunny hills.
And like jumps and like ramps and like.
Yeah, but what if you're holding onto that rope and you're about to go on a ramp and you fuck up? Like, what do?
You fall.
You're just stuck there, flat. So obviously the rope keeps going, so you're just stuck there till it comes back.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Makes a full trip. Because you're flat, it's not like you can get up momentum to finish the track yourself unless you have your sticks, in which case it's kind of hard to hold those and hold on to a tow rope. I see errors. As someone who skis, I see errors.
It's just a new type
Maybe
of
you should
ski.
Try snowboarding.
You could do it anywhere. You wouldn't have to drive all the way up north.
Maybe you should
you
try tubing.
Gain all of the speed to like be dangerous.
Tom,
like,
you should try
there'd
snow
There'd be no
tubing.
Trees to run into. That's wimpy.
You're the one trying to make skiing wimpy. Try
At least
tubing.
You've got jumps and shit.
Yeah. Tubing. All right, tubing I don't know where you've been wimpy. Tubing, but where I've went tubing, we have like basically, it's not a mountain, obviously, but it's a good size hill. They tow you up this giant hill and then you go down and you spin while you're going down and it has like different bumps. Like you're getting air and you're just flying and you, it's way better than just a flat tow around.
It's not flat. There's hills and bumps.
Yeah, barely.
Little hills.
And if you get stuck, you're stuck there for an hour. Like
it'd go around every minute or so.
That's a small track
How
then.
How fast is this thing going?
Like, maybe 3 minutes, whatever.
Like, that's a small track.
Or there'd be two of them.
But what if it comes back and there's other people on your rope? Then you still gotta wait. I see
somebody dying from getting impaled by skis.
Oh.
Well, people can run into each other when they're going down a hill just as easy as they can.
Yeah, what are the chances in my system? Being towed by a fast-moving rope, hitting a jump, and not expecting to see another grown person at the bottom of the jump and just putting their ski through them?
Like, at least on a hill, you're above, so usually you can see. But if you're coming up on just, like, a flat... surface and there's something hiding like in a dip, you can't see it. But if you're going downhill, usually you can.
I suppose you're right. Maybe they could have like a green light, red light system to tell you if there's somebody in the way, or they could work it out. And you could do that. You could have it like, you could have one in Canton, you could have one in Detroit, you could have one in like around here somewhere. You wouldn't have to drive 2 hours up north. Could put them in the middle of cities, like next to an ice skating rink.
Or maybe we'll just take away fun for everyone and no one will ever do anything fun.
It'd be more fun than skating. How do you hit all my ideas?
You just ruined skiing. That's so sad.
Not as important as the journey.
That would be fun for ice skating.
I made skiing accessible everywhere. It's like halfway between ice skating and skiing, but
you mean skiing baby proof. Okay. Why don't you should do that for like ice skating? That'd be okay if you're dragging someone around a tow rope for
but
ice skating.
Ice skating would be more boring because then the track would be flat.
No, it doesn't
you know,
have to be
pretty flat. I mean, just go to like Michigan or like Huron for you guys in the winter.
Well, ice skating doesn't work if it's not totally flat. You'd hit a bump and you'd fall.
Well, yeah, but you can still set up like jumps and stuff for people to do.
Well, you can't jump on ice skates. You'd fall onto the ice.
People jump on ice skates all the time. What is figure skating? What is figure skating?
They're not going over a jump, like a hill jump.
They're jumping in the air. They're landing. They're doing tricks. Like, put them on, like, you know, like a bungee cord for their hand where they can still spin and do tricks and stuff. I'm just saying, because they'll have the speed.
Well, you don't want...
And since you have it so safe, no one will ever get hurt.
It won't be safe, because if you... put a 10-year-old girl on a tow rope on an ice skating rink, she's going to fall and smack her head on the ice.
She doesn't have an eject button.
My idea, at least it's this padded snow landing.
You're right. Let's just pad everything. Everything here is made out of padding.
Let's make every sport really dangerous again.
Yes.
You guys are just contrarians. Just
the baseballs are now fucking grenades.
More UFC.
Let's just make it fun again.
We should just turn everything, every sport should start including MMA.
Yeah. Just, oh, Fernando flopped again. Oh, somebody just put him in a Camaro lock. I think he's going to tap.
I'm just saying.
Whatever. You guys can play your MMA sport and get hurt. I'll do my... skiing, and I'll live in my tiny house and work 20 hours a week and live like a king while you guys work 40 hours in an office to pay for a pointless spare bedroom until you run out of money and go homeless.
I don't pay for a spare bedroom because I bought a house appropriate for my needs.
Also, I'm an Eagle Scout. I'll just go live in the woods.
It's true. I was raised in the woods. I could do that too.
At least I won't be living in your sterile, ridiculous hologram prison. Will I be eating squirrels and shitting in the woods like a bear? Yeah.
I don't think
I won't be in your hologram prison.
Nobody can live off the land anymore. We're too soft. You have to be like
is that a challenge? I will go missing. Do not put it past me.
I don't think you know how I spent my summers growing up. It was that. No electricity, no running water, in the woods.
Ta-da. Foraging for your own berries and shooting your own food.
I ate a lot of fish.
Yeah. Okay.
Same.
You guys can go backwards in time and live like cavemen. I'll live like a digital bliss.
I don't know.
Yeah,
bliss, it doesn't sound very like gratifying.
Whatever. I'm not gonna win you over. Thanks for calling in. I forgot your name already.
Nolan
Riley.
I got you. Don't be offended. He has a hard time remembering my name. And I've been with him for like, how long have you been doing your show?
Is he laughing at me?
Yeah. How long have I been doing your show? How long have you been doing your show?
Just over a year.
Yeah, just over a year. He's known me just over a year and he still can't remember my name half the time. So don't be offended.
No, I got it now.
Hey, names are hard. Faces are easier.
Well, that doesn't help the situation at all.
Okay. Thanks for calling in again. See you around next time I do Kalamazoo comedy. That was Creativity Wasted. Good night.